self-acceptance is an allowing, right? And that means you have to get past your resistance, which is your fear. And a lot of times we don't feel our resistance, or we don't pay attention to resistance, but you want to pay attention to it. It's in your body. Like, you can feel it. It feels like a brick wall inside of you. Like, ugh, I don't want to do that. Do it. You know, the things that you are afraid of, you will make excuses for. You will not make decisions that are for you. You'll make decisions against you, right? These are things that you're saying, I don't accept this. If I make a decision for someone else and it's costing me, I think I'm going to get payment. How? What I'm going to do is develop resentment is what I'm going to do, because I'm choosing against myself.
Welcome to the Bombshell Business Podcast, where driven women in business learn how to become more bold, brave, and unwaveringly confident. Feel empowered and challenged through inspiring stories and tell it like it is advice for business, life, and leadership.
Welcome or welcome back to the Bombshell Business Podcast. I'm your host, Amber Hurdle, and I think today is going to be one of those episodes that really cuts to the core of what a bombshell truly is. And you know, I redefined that term many, many moons ago to mean bold, brave, unwaveringly confident woman in business. And that's not to say that we don't fall down, we don't skin our knees. It's that we get back up, we bandage it, and we keep on trucking. But on the journey to get there, or sometimes we have bombshell inside of us, but maybe there's so many external voices that have created internal voices that keep us from where we want to go. And so today's guest is actually going to help us unpack that and understand what we need to do to overcome self-doubt. So let me tell you about my new friend, Tracy. Tracy Crossley innovates in a crowded marketplace of coaches, counselors, and mentors. She has perfected a method for real change, no matter what circumstances are occurring in the life of an individual, personally or in business. With her background in business, marketing, psychology, ontological coaching, we're going to have to talk about that, emotional intelligence, I could have butchered that, and intuitive abilities, Tracy is a game changer for women leaders looking to reinvent how they live and lead from the inside out. She's been known to say she can build the perfect leader for the present and the future. That's a pretty beefy bio, Tracy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I know. It's like sometimes you get lost in your own words listening to it, but yeah.
No, but it's good. That clearly states the problems that you solve. It helps us understand what you're about, and it does it in a very concise way. It's just a lot packed in there in the house. So love it. So let's dive right in. What made you become so focused on helping women leaders with their self-doubt?
Being a female leader myself, of course, is part of it. And I know a lot of female leaders, and it came from my work and personally, basically. It was personally, you know, I belonged to like a small mastermind of other female leaders, and I'd listen to a lot of the issues that they would come across. And then, you know, working with female leaders, just they would come to me as individuals, and then it was what impacted them across the board in their life, the kind of problems they would have both personally and professionally. And, you know, a lot of it came back to self-doubt, because there's this idea, not that we have to be men, but a lot of us are pretty masculine when it comes to, right, what we do. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I was told, you know, when I was in corporate years ago, that I'd be a great guy, you know? Yeah. And I think it's really interesting, because what that does is it doesn't really allow you to be who you fully are. And I think that with that, you miss out on who am I really? And I think that is the gap where doubt comes in, because how can you trust you when you're not really being you? You're being, I don't want to say caricature, but it's that imposter syndrome, you know, where you're kind of being that other person.
Yeah. Well, and I, in the same way, like, this is a whole other podcast episode, but I do have a ton of masculine energy. And honestly, it benefits me in the business world, because men know that I'm going to be very brass tacks about things, but I also have like the feminine perspective and, you know, a little, so I'm kind of like safe to be vulnerable with, but also they know that I'm going to drive business results and, you know, profitability and things like that. But it took me a long time to get there. And then also to have the delineation between personal and private. And in my personal life, I just want to rest into my femininity. I want to rest into that. And so, yeah, you do kind of have a little bit of a mind battle of who am I? What am I leading with? Am I masculine? Am I feminine? And the truth is, and we've talked about this multiple times, and then I'll shut up. We're all both, all of us, every man, every woman, everyone has both of that energy. So it's not a gender thing. It is an energy thing. So now that you have observed this problem, how did you start tackling the solution? Like what? Tell us about your journey of getting there.
Okay. Well, I mean, I started as an entrepreneur as a child. And then, you know, over the years, it was either I was working corporate or I'd have a business. And, you know, my journey was just kind of different because I fell into coaching. I wasn't planning on being a coach.
Okay.
And I was originally trained as a love coach, which is hilarious because at the time, no, I was divorced. I was very dysfunctional in my relationships, but I didn't realize the level of dysfunction and how it was professionally as well.
Yeah.
Because I also, when I started my business, I still had to have something to support it. It wasn't like I just walked into coaching and made money. In fact, that was one of the reasons why I thought, why am I going to be a coach? How am I going to make money? But, you know, this is in 2008. And
yeah. Tough year.
Yes, it was. And that's, but anyways, so it was a multitude of things. I came across something called attachment theory.
Yeah,
so I didn't realize how much that played into the personal and professional of, you know, everybody, whether you're male or female. The reason I chose female is I feel that a lot of times women in the media are portrayed more with a victim mentality, like let's help her to, you know, not be this victim, or let's throw, you know, things at her. Like women are treated differently.
Rapunzel, let down your hair, let somebody rescue you from the perils of the tower that you've been trapped in.
Yes, exactly. I agree. So I'm sorry, I touched, got excited and touched my phone and the video went off. Oh my god. If you guys heard anything, yes, my thumb went boop. Anyway, yeah. So what ended up happening for me was through a series of events, whether, you know, again, it was personal and professional, I really dug into attachment theory. And when I started working with people, I realized how many people had insecure attachment, which also is the foundation for imposter syndrome. Because when you're a kid, you're conditioned by your environment, right? You're a little sponge trying to soak things up, trying to get an idea of who you are in the world, you know, and what's going on with you in terms of how are people perceiving you, right? And you kind of get an identity from that. And unfortunately, like, oh, you know, you're loud. You should not be loud. Oh, you know, you're, let's say, very creative and you're coloring the walls. I mean, you're doing things right. And you're being told, oh, no, don't do that. Or that's wrong. Or maybe it's, you know, where you have a family, it's more abusive. Or maybe you don't get paid attention to. Or you only get attention when you do things that are perfect. So we get these ideas about our value. And we carry it forward. Because we're not consciously aware that this is happening as a kid. You have no idea that you are picking up this information. And so we bring it forward into our personal and professional lives. And I've found with the professional, especially, you know, most of my clients that I've had have been very driven. So there's a difference between having motivation, inner motivation, because I enjoy this, this turns me on, I'm totally excited by it, versus I have the drive, I need to prove that I'm okay. I need to prove I have value. I need to prove to the world I can be successful. Whatever, whenever it's that mix, that's a drive. That's an external motivation, extrinsic motivation. So you notice that when people have insecure attachment issues, that this is all very heightened, because no matter how much success you can have, you may never ever feel successful. Or you may never feel like you can hold on to it.
Or I don't have enough certifications or enough degrees or enough all the things that the world tells me, yep, you got a stamp, you got a piece of paper, you got the symbol, like, here you go.
Yes. Yes.
And I've found, you know, I definitely follow attachment theory. Is insecure attachment the same as anxious attachment, or are those different?
They're different. So I actually read a book, it's back there, it's called Overcoming Insecure Attachment. And what the difference is that you have anxious is an attachment style, and anxious avoidant and avoidant are attachment styles.
I see.
Yeah, I was gonna say, God knows how many others, because people are always coming up with like a new style. So Yeah.
And so then insecure is the blanket of all of these unhealthy attachment styles. And a secure attachment style then is we don't have these challenges because we were nurtured in the way that we needed to be nurtured growing up.
Right.
So one thing that I have found, and it's interesting because sometimes I'll say it from stage and then like you hear this, it's not even a rumble. It's like a like really loud and all the men are like, what's going on right here? But I have found in my own work and through this podcast and the book and everything, so many women who are high performing, butt kicking, successful women have significant mother wounds. And it's the achieve that they felt like they had to do to get their mom's approval or attention, which then continue to drive them. So it's like, okay, well, that's great. Yay that you have these outcomes from this, you know, painful experience, but now let's heal that. So you've got all this, you have the success from it, but like, let's stop the insanity of what is making this be what it is. Like, let's just do it for the sake of your capable and your own personal edification. Is that a fair?
I would say that you get there, but I also find that a lot of times when I work with women, they tend to either get promotions or they tend to change jobs, but more frequently they start their own businesses. You know, it's just the way it is, but it is that. But I also find that daddy issues too, because like in my case, I wanted to emulate my dad. I looked at him as the power. Like my mom has been diagnosed as a narcissist, but you know, I take that with a grain of salt because it wasn't, let's say, a true diagnosis. Like my therapist one time is like, your mom is a narcissist. Like, okay. But dad was a workaholic and had his own business and really just wasn't there emotionally, wasn't present. And so he wasn't really, let's say, giving input to me on, you know, my growth, except criticize me and do things like that. Right. So, yeah. So it was always like, I have to prove something. And I was always just like, boom, boom, boom. You know, everything had to be fast. I was always very on top of things. And yet I always felt insecure inside. I always felt like it wasn't enough. And that someone was going to find out that I wasn't worth it at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And too, like, I mean, I have ADD and everyone. I'm very careful to not use everyone all the time, like, but everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thought that I was so smart. And in my mind, because I knew the struggle that I had to have to go home and reteach myself what was taught in the classroom. So I can still get my A because I'm getting my A. Even if it means I got to stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning, but there wasn't language around that in the 80s.
Yes.
So like I had imposter syndrome as a child, like somebody's going to find out that I'm actually stupid. So I got to just keep on achieving. And then everybody will continue to believe that I'm as smart as they think that I believe, because then that became my identity. And that was a neurodivergent issue. Like that had nothing to do with parent wounds or anything. That was, you know, such a different thing that I had to grow out of and learn more about. So self-doubt, I guess, is what I'm experiencing in this conversation, can come from countless places.
Mm-hmm. It can. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's funny you said that, because I remember when I was in school and they wanted to skip me a grade. And
same. I like bad plan.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not smart. I'm funny. I want to be funny. I don't want to be, you know, I felt so weird being smart. But one of the things that they would also say at the same time is I didn't live up to my potential. So those kind of things, you know, not just your environment at home, right? But your environment in other places impacts.
Coaches.
But yeah, but as I say, you have that basis that starts at home. And then everything kind of builds on top of that, right? Because you're going to show up at school being a certain way, you know, as far as introverted or extroverted, or, you know, the things that you decide to do are usually based on what you feel is a limitation or not a limitation. So oftentimes we doubt who we are. Like, you learn to navigate this, right? I'm going to navigate this. And whatever you're good at navigating, you think that's a great part of you, but it may not be even a part of who you really are. It's just a, you know, some kind of conditioned reflex of, well, this is what I do. This is what I know to do. Like you were saying, how you just kept achieving, right? Because that's what you knew how to do. It's like when we find that thing that we know how to do, we don't usually vary from it because that's where we know we're going to be okay, or people are going to accept us, because we don't accept ourselves because we don't even know how to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So would you say that one of the paths to overcoming self-doubt then is radical acceptance of yourself?
I would say that is, but I don't think most people understand what self-acceptance actually is. So self-acceptance is an allowing, right? And that means you have to get past your resistance, which is your fear. And a lot of times we don't feel our resistance, or we don't pay attention to resistance, but you want to pay attention to it. It's in your body. Like, you can feel it. It feels like a brick wall inside of you. Like, ugh, I don't want to do that. Do it. You know, the things that you are afraid of, you will make excuses for. You will not make decisions that are for you. You'll make decisions against you, right? These are things that you're saying, I don't accept this. If I make a decision for someone else and it's costing me, I think I'm going to get payment how? What I'm going to do is develop resentment is what I'm going to do, because I'm choosing against myself. I may get angry and blame somebody else for it, right? So you're not, that whole action right there has nothing to do with self-acceptance. And all it does is it makes you doubt what you can have for yourself. If I'm always, jockeying for other people, hoping they're going to give me the validation that I can't give to myself, then I'm going to be in a position to never, ever grow my self-worth. No matter how many accomplishments you have, it never grows your self-worth, by the way. It has nothing to do with your self-worth.
Amen. Amen and amen. Yeah. It's interesting. You know, people say like, oh, Amber's just like the most confident person that I know. And I'm like, well, yes and no. Like, I like myself and I learned how to accept myself, but I'm the first person who can write a novel about everything that is, quote, wrong with me, or all of the challenges that I experienced. It's just the difference is maybe that I've assembled the right amount of tools with mental health professionals, coaches, reading, personal development, self-awareness, all of those things, to just be like, okay, well, this is part of me and I'm just going to be curious about this thing out here that I'm going to stop judging. And I'm just going to say like, okay, well, yes, I have these great things about me. This is the challenging part. I'm going to do whatever I can to integrate that into who my whole part and not try to cut that part off as if it's not a part of me, and just have harmony with it. And that's like, that's just, I don't know how to explain it any other way of just like, it is what it is. So I might as well just like throw it in the blender with everything else and like do this life.
Right.
If it's going to hold me back, like, then I don't want to do this.
Right. Yep. Well, because here's the thing. When you focus on things that, number one, are not that important to you, but maybe important to other people, you're never going to actually get through it because you're not doing it for yourself. That's the first thing. The second thing is, does it really need to be fixed? Does it really need to be changed? Probably not. It's not something, you know, I mean, I guess it's like if you got in your car and you drove with blindfolds on, well, maybe you might want to change that, you know?
Right.
But literally, you're not hurting other people. It's maybe their expectation of you that you're hurting.
Oh, yeah.
Which you can't control anyway.
How many people decide that you're no longer important to them, or they no longer want to tap into you when you are no longer the fountain of pleasing their expectations? So when you do, so like it's a struggle, right? Because you're like, okay, so here I'm overcoming my self-doubt. I am believing in myself. I'm practicing radical acceptance. And then the consequence of that is now people are pulling away from me, which is not affirming.
It
feels scary. It feels like your fears are coming true. But the reality is when you let go of those people, then you allow all the right people to come in. And it's just like, it's such a journey. And I don't think you can get there without help. So help us, Tracy.
I mean, you know, I do this in a variety of ways. You know, one of the things that I do is in my programs, we really get down to the core of what you believe. Because a lot of your beliefs are there. You don't know how they got there. And they're really what direct traffic. They're what tell you, oh, this is what you are. And that's what the world is and everything in it. So what ends up happening is I work with people at the level of belief. And then we look at rules. And then we look at stories. I have like a little pyramid I'm building, by the way.
Cool.
Stories. And then we have patterns. And then we have evidence. And then it just kind of goes down as a loop and starts over. But our beliefs are always looking for evidence that they're true. And so you do not, you know, like for me, my goal was, I don't want external circumstances controlling how I feel or making my decisions for me. because that's a very reactive way to live. And that also is where self-doubt comes in, because while I'll make the choice that's comfortable that I know, rather than the choice that I feel inside of me is the right choice, but it's scary, it's risky, and maybe other people aren't going to like it, or whatever your problem happens to be where you're having fear. So it's really about digging deep into those beliefs and changing them through changing your rules, changing your stories, changing your patterns, because that's where you can change them. Because as long as that evidence keeps showing up, your belief's going to go, well, I'm true that, you know, I'm not worthy, or I'm true, I'm different, or whatever the belief happens to be. And by the way, the negative beliefs are protective. They're not there to screw you over, although it feels like that. You know, it's always trying to get you to stay in the same place because it's about survival. So it's really to protect you, right? Your beliefs don't care if you're happy.
Right.
They just care that you stay alive.
Right. And in my own research of women and confidence and that sort of thing, what I have learned through various studies, and of course I can't quote one right now, I'd have to look in my notes, but men tend to make decisions in a very futuristic way. Like, where is it that I'm trying to go? And I'm going to make choices that are in alignment with me getting there. But women, the way that our amygdala is, and then you can correct me on this because you're the expert, but what I've read is that a woman's amygdala operates differently than a man's, and we draw on previous experiences. We don't look to the future. We draw on previous experiences, and that informs our choices because our brains are wired to protect ourselves. And that's the evidence that we're using to make the choice. And the choice is usually a little more cautious and a little more risk averse than a man whose amygdala operates differently than ours. Is that in alignment with your studies?
I mean, I haven't actually heard that before, to be honest with you.
Okay.
So, you know, because I work with both men and women, and I work with them on an emotional somatic level. So, you know, we really feel that emotions live in the body, regardless of, you know, the amygdala, at least with the men I've worked with. I mean, they have very similar emotional issues to women.
Agreed.
And yeah, they do. It's just expressed differently.
Right.
That's all. And it also depends too, you know, like things like their attachment style. It depends on their conditioning. But I've had several men go through my programs, and, you know, it again can be expressed like, oh, he's more avoidant, he doesn't express his emotions, but they know what they are, they still have them, right? So when it comes to planning, whether it's, you know, present or future, yeah, men are also conditioned to take risks.
Yeah.
Women aren't conditioned to take
Agreed.
Risks. So if you can get past your conditioning, which I'm all about getting past conditioning, that's like the basis of the work, is to, you know, through these processes, we really get very deep into your emotions. And we want to break away any of this conditioning that doesn't serve you because it's limited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to like sit in on one of your sessions sometimes and watch you do your thing because of that. I'm like, this is so good. This is so good. Let's start breaking this nonsense down. And mm-hmm. then I guess too, as I just reflect, and I keep imputing myself here, but so many of the things that you're saying like is just coming full circle for me. Like, do we ever really get there? Because there are days where I'm just like, Amber, you have evidence. Like the one, my go-to all the time is, you know, even when I was going through my divorce and when, you know, when the fit hits the shan, like anytime I'm just like, you literally had a baby when you were 16 years old. You raised her independently. She's a multiple six-figure entrepreneur now. She's happily married. She's, you know, I mean, there's all these good things about her life. And it's like, if you can do that, why are you telling yourself that this is conditional if you can get this done or not? Like that's, I just have to keep having these conversations with myself when Gertrude, who sits on my shoulder and goes, you can't do it. You've bit off more than you can chew. Or like, you don't have the right people in place. And like all these things that Gertrude tells me, that's my inner nasty girl voice
yeah.
that I've named, you know, then I have to come back as Amber and be like, here's the evidence that I can. I have to do that every day, and people think I'm the most confident person in the world. And I don't think it's like I'm more confident than you. It's just I have a toolbox.
Right. I mean, that's hard to do, by the way. You know, my whole thing was like when I was going, because my work was based on how I broke through certain barriers, right? And one of them was getting to a space of non-attachment. And that got rid of my inner critic because I don't have that voice anymore, or at least I don't hear that voice, let's just say. You know, telling me anything. And what I've also learned is not to run from my feelings, because when I can just be with them, you know, they'll go away. In my work, we use them to get to a deeper place, to break patterns. But on a normal basis, if like something comes over me, I'm like, okay, I've got to let it go. You know, what am I going to do? And I do. And it goes. I don't have to talk myself into it. And it's not like I'm like Miss, you know, woohoo every day kind of a thing, you know. But for the most part, I have a certain level that I'm at emotionally where I never used to. I mean, you're talking to somebody who used to be depressed and anxious all the time. So, you know,
that's my question too, is like, okay, so what about the people who are clinically depressed or have a diagnosis of anxiety or obsessive compulsive disorder or any of these things that have happened because of life experiences? Does that shift the conversation around their self-doubt, or is it just a different journey?
I mean, it's okay. In my work, that's something that we help people through. I mean, it's not, again, this isn't therapy,
sure,
but it is something, because we find, at least the people that have come to me, right, it's the actions we're taking are not the actions that we actually want to take. And when you start taking actions that you want to take and doing the things you want to do instead of talking yourself out of it, you find you're less anxious and less depressed. Because depression, is usually a sign that you're stuck, you know, unless you're clinically depressed. And even then, we've had people get off meds, you know, while they've been in my programs, because a lot of people will come either on anti-anxiety or anti-depression meds. And so what they find is the more true you are to yourself and finding that self too, right? Because a lot of us have buried her deep. We, you know, we have all sorts of responsibilities, all sorts of expectations and other things that we've placed on top. And so when you start digging through that and getting to the core of who you are, you relax, you feel more inner peace, you feel a sense of everything's going to be okay. Because you realize you can be, not to get woo-woo here, but you can be in a state of flow. You can be in a state of, you know, everything is going to be okay, and it is okay. I mean, there are things that have happened, you know, over the last few years where, okay, like, whatever. Not that I took things lightly, because what I've been able to do is stay emotionally present. Like, I'll just give you an example. Like, my husband started having a heart issue in 2021. We didn't know what it was. Mystery thing, has open heart surgery that didn't end up working. And then he ended up living like in the hospital for 6 months last year and having heart transplant. So,
wow.
And while I was, and while we were selling our house and I had to go find us a house to live in and then move us. And so, and having my business. And so all I could do was to be emotionally present and to make sure I was processing my emotions and not just chucking them to the side. But my whole thing was, feel your emotions, keep moving forward. Feel your emotions, keep moving forward, right? But I was being very real about it. So on there were certain days where I'd get pissed off about things and I just let myself be pissed off.
Yeah, it's a real emotion.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it was a reaction to what's happening. And so, you know, these are the things where I would have shamed myself in the past, though.
Sure.
You know, so it's these kind of ways that you start to just keep opening yourself. Like, I didn't get depressed. You know, I wasn't anxious during this time. It was very challenging and stressful. But again, if I would have sat there and did nothing, or if I would have felt overwhelmed and did nothing, like all the things, you know, that you can do to yourself that make it worse, that's where you get stuck in the anxiety and the depression. But
Tracy, if we could teach this in junior high and high school, I think we would spare people an awful lot of midlife crises, like truly.
Yes.
I mean, why do we have to wait till 40 to like get smacked in the face by life and our choices to understand that we want the second half to be a lot different than the first half?
Exactly.
That's you do such important work. And I feel like I could talk to you forever. I have a feeling that as we move on, I'm probably going to want to have you back on the podcast to talk about things and come back, because there's so much here. I mean, just with attachment theory alone, goodness, the work that you do in the lives of men and women is important. But before we get into how people can learn more about you and all the other things, I want to ask you the final question that I ask every single guest, and that is, what parting piece of advice, that one juicy nugget that you want Bombshells to remember, what would you say to a bold, brave, unwaveringly confident woman in business, or one who's on the journey to become one?
Have awareness about being honest with yourself. In other words, pay attention to the things you think, the things you say. They give you clues to how you talk to yourself. A lot of us lie to ourselves. A lot of us tell ourselves stories. You know, if we feel like something's happened outside of us and it may produce shame, just be with the shame. So you become aware, first, the stories that you have, and secondly, feel your shame and let your shame come through, you know, in those places where stories come out. And then you can take emotionally risky action, which is to do something vulnerable, to do something that feels very uncomfortable. Because if you can just do that, you can change your whole life.
That's not a juicy nugget. I don't know what is. So good. Okay. So to find you online, we can go to tracycrossley.com, and that is Intuitive Reinvention. You're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, all Tracy Crossley, and we will obviously put all of that in the show notes. So Tracy, you are a blessing, and I appreciate your presence on this show and all the tactical, really great advice that you've offered us.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed talking about this with you.
Absolutely. Well, Bombshell, I'm pretty sure that is about as on brand for the Bombshell business brand as we could have possibly gotten today. One thing that we're always aspiring for is being bold, brave, and unwaveringly confident. And again, I say this all the time. It's not that we don't fall down. It's not that we don't skin our knees. It's that we just get back up. We use that resiliency. We remember the grit that we have proven time and time again in our lives that we are capable of. And Tracy's giving you beautiful tools in order to help you on your becoming. So be sure you give her a follow. If you love this episode, if you know someone, and if you know any female, you know somebody who deals with self-doubt. Share this episode with them so that you can be a part of extending that Bombshell spirit, that community that we have. And make sure you leave a rating and review. That puts more ears in this podcast. We can reach more women, and just keep kicking butt and let us know how this has impacted you. You can email me at amber@amberhurdle.com. And you know, I do always respond, even if it takes me a hot minute. And other than that, I'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Bombshell Business Podcast. Visit amberhurdle.com for more resources like show notes, and check out the bombshellbusinesswoman.com to grab my book and download the free bonuses.